Hello, Tea Crew, and welcome to this brand new mini sip. And today we are going to be discussing Amanda Seales and her Club Shay Shay interview. So let's get straight into it. So before I even get into my thoughts about this interview, I just want to preface this by saying Amanda Seales asked for this interview, right? She was in the Club Shay Shay comments. This is public knowledge. This is documented. And people said that Amanda should come on to Club Shay Shay and really get her point across and really have people understand where she's coming from. And a lot of people felt that Shannon Sharpe's platform would be great for this because he allows for the guests to have all the time that they need. It's not a 45-minute interview. It's not even an hour interview. Most of his interviews are 2 hours plus, right? So this is an opportunity for her to really get into the things of the things and have people understand where exactly Amanda Seales is coming from, right? So she comes onto this platform. Now, I have a little tea for you all. One of my sources did say that there was an argument, a heated argument between Amanda Seales and Shannon Sharpe during the pre-interview meeting. Now, what was said, you know, they didn't tell, but they did say that they exchanged words. So for those that felt like when they started the interview, they came in on the middle of the interview, this is probably why you felt like that. You got that feeling that something had happened. Because let's be clear, like those that are saying that Shannon Sharpe was not intellectually able to have the conversation with Amanda Seales, like you're just kidding yourself. There has been several other people on this platform. Basically, almost everybody else on this platform has been able to go on and get their point across. So I don't really want to right off the bat assume that Shannon Sharpe is the reason why this interview was a cringy hot mess. Okay. They both played their part in it, but I don't think it's fair to say that his intellect was the reason why this interview was not as successful as it could have been. So we could start there. So Amanda Seales opens up this interview with a diagnosis of autism, right? And in this diagnosis, Shannon Sharpe asks her point blank, were you clinically diagnosed? And Amanda says there is a clinical diagnosis for autism. So she basically played semantics gymnastics when it comes to whether she answered this question properly. Now, those that have the kind of autism that Amanda claims to have say that people with this kind of autism are very direct, but they're not manipulators, right? They don't try to manipulate the situation. They're very direct. And this is where I would have to respectfully beg to differ. I think it was a complete manipulation on Amanda's part to say something like that because she alluded to the fact that she had autism and it had been clinically diagnosed by a doctor, only then to get on live and say that she was not clinically diagnosed. She did not want to pay a professional for their professional opinion, $10,000 or whatever she said. And so she took her symptoms, she put them in, you know, little check boxes, and she self-diagnosed herself with this form of adult autism. Now, it is worth saying that in different things I've watched, different panels, shout out to CTV. He did a great panel last night where people that are neurodivergent, they got on the panel and they spoke to some of the things that Amanda experiences. And while I think that is completely valid, full stop, what they had to say was valid. People that go through an autism diagnosis as an adult, it is very different than going through a diagnosis as a child. People who even self-diagnose themselves, it's completely different. But for her to have the question asked directly to her and for her to skirt around the fact, that was a manipulation. We just have to be fair. Also, I want to mention in fairness that Shannon Sharpe not wanting to see the racism that Amanda experienced as a child was deliberate. Taking the side of the teacher, taking the side of the other children. It just seemed like he was not willing to be an ally in her story at that point. This, I think, triggered Amanda into her intellect, her intellect, her intellect. She's always talking about how smart she is, how she processes information, how she's smarter than a lot of people, and how this ostracizes her and pushes her away from the group because she is so intelligent and she's so educated. And honestly, and I mean, this might come off harsh, but if you guys, those that ask for my opinion, this is my real opinion on the situation. She doesn't come off that intelligent to me. She comes off educated, but she doesn't come off intelligent. Education is going to learn something and understanding it, basically being able to regurgitate it and apply it in different situations. That's being educated. But being intelligent, I think, goes something a little bit deeper. And that kind of intelligence is what I think Amanda is lacking. It's the soft skills. It's getting your point across. It's understanding what people are saying so that you can better understand where they're coming from and have a conversation. An interview is a conversation at the end of the day. And even though the person that's being interviewed is supposed to be more about them, but it speaks to both of you as people when you come down and sit with somebody, especially for the amount of time that they did sit together and talk, and nothing really comes out of it. Like somebody said that it was a big nothing burger. And that's kind of how I felt about the interview. Like, if you are going into this interview with an open mind, trying to understand Amanda Moore, trying to understand the Griot interview, the Griot op-ed and the Root op-ed about her and trying to hear it in her own words. You didn't really get that from this interview because it just seemed like Amanda was more concerned about being right and more concerned with Shannon kind of like being on her side. And basically, it felt like she just wanted Shannon to be like, "You're right, Amanda. Everyone else is crazy. You're not hard to work with. You're amazing. It's everybody else's fault, and it's not your fault at all." And I just don't think that the accountability was there on Amanda's part. There's nothing wrong with being direct. There's nothing wrong with speaking your mind. There's even nothing wrong with correcting people when they need to be corrected, but there's a way to do everything. And I'm not saying that because she's a woman. I saw many critiques about people saying, "Oh, she was a man and she was speaking this way." I think if she was a man and she was speaking this way, I think Shannon could have taken the gloves off and they could have really got into it, you know, but he was holding back for the sake of who she was. And I think she was even going a little harder for the sake of who he was. You know what I mean? And that may have been due to the little argument or whatever in the pre-interview. I don't know because there's no details about that. But it just seemed like it was kind of oil, water situation. And in my opinion, as a producer, when something like that happens before an interview even starts, I would either reschedule the interview or cancel it because the energy of the people that are going into the situation, especially for 3 hours, it matters. It definitely matters. Like, you can't go into something after having a little debate or argument or whatever they did. And then do this, and then also lead right off the bat with basically a lie to say that you've been clinically diagnosed or kind of skirt around being clinically diagnosed and then not have been. It just sets the tone for the whole entire interview. So let's talk about the Issa Rae piece really quickly. So Amanda has told this story before. Her story has not changed. She's spoken about the publicist before. That part has not changed. But I just to definitively say that Issa Rae does not protect Black women, I thought that was a heavily, loaded statement that in your experience, she did not protect you. But to say overall that Issa Rae does not protect Black women is a very loaded statement. And I think it's almost hypocritical in a way because this is the same thing that Amanda does as well. When she had that situation with Tamir Rice's mother in the comments, where she basically said Tamir Rice's mother, Tamir Rice, for those who don't remember, was a 12-year-old that was shot and killed by the police, right? And his mother had blamed and also, was very vocal about certain celebrity I can't even describe what they are. They're like celebrity political figures. They're always in the movement. They're always like inserting themselves into conversations and stuff like that. And they're supposed to be getting social justice, but a lot of times we don't see it happen. So she called out these people who were basically profiting off of her son's death. And then Amanda came in the comments and commented on this and basically said that she thought that, you know, this was something that was being set up by the other side to bring down these famous celebrity social justice seekers or whatever. There's more information on that. If you want more information on that, I'm not really explaining that part well, but people take this one situation that Amanda's done and they say she attacks Black women. She's, you know, argumentative. She's this, she's that. So you're taking one situation that happened with Issa and you're saying overall blanket statement, she does not protect Black women. People could say the same thing for you by the way that you attacked Tamir Rice's mother. So you see how that's hypocritical? So for you to say that, you know, this is your life's work, you want to see Black people advance, you want to see Black people be educated, you want to, you know, have all these causes for Black people, but at the same time, attack a Black person. Of all the white production companies, I just have to say it, of all the white production companies that you work with, the person that you decide to sit on the couch and criticize is Issa Rae? That's who you want to criticize? I mean, she spoke a little bit about Disney as a child, but as an adult, she's worked with MTV. She's worked with all these things. I mean, we've seen her on our TVs forever. I grew up with Amanda Seales. I remember Amanda the Diva and all that stuff. Like, I thought she was cool. Like, I really was like, this is a cool chick. And for all intents and purposes, she was the one that represented us because there were no real dark-skinned ones. I mean, on MTV at that time. It was Lala and it was her. That was it. There was no brown skin. There was no, it was none of that. None of that. You know, you want Black female representation? That was it. But I think there is a lack of accountability there. I think there's definitely a lack of accountability there. There's nothing wrong with being direct. There's nothing wrong with it, whether it's autism or your personality. There's nothing wrong with that. But I think when everyone is saying similar things about you and you want to point the finger and say, no, this is not what's happening, you need to look at yourself and you need to take some accountability. That's where I think Amanda is falling short. She's not taking accountability for her portion of it. People can wrong you. The situation can be completely flawed. And even still, you have to find a way to make it make sense to why it's happening to you, because it wasn't happening to everybody else. Everybody else wasn't getting escorted out of the party physically. Everybody else wasn't having these phone conversations with publicists and different cast members and having all this friction on set. Everybody else wasn't doing that. You know, and I feel like I'll end on this. I feel like Funky Dineva said it a long time ago that while it's not fair and while people might find problem with it, likability is a big reason why people advance and it's a big reason why people fail. There's a reason why BET invites certain people to the award shows and other people don't get invited. And it doesn't make it right, but it just makes it a fact. If you are not likable, if you are not someone who gets along with everyone, you are not someone who people can call on to do this or do that and understand that you can kind of mesh into the situation, then you just won't be invited to the party, and that's fine. And it seems like from the interview that she's comfortable with who she is and who she's not. So you have to just understand when you draw that line in the sand, as who you are as a person, everybody's not going to like it. And you can't chase the validation of every single person. You will drive yourself crazy. Like, it killed me to see a grown adult woman crying on TikTok about the opinions of two authors. A lifelong career, a body of work from a child all the way into her 40s, and you're crying about two articles. I would love to know the T. Crew's thoughts on this, because I really was like, I'm not gonna make him any sip for 2 weeks. I'm gonna let it rock. I'm gonna really take a break. But I just had to comment on this because it's just so much. It's going so much deeper now. And I honestly was like, I gotta just get my opinion out. So I would love to know what you guys think in the comments. I love you for listening. Until next time, bye.